that I might not sin against thee. That's in the Psalms. I'm sorry, I'm taken by that hymn. And I've been thinking a long time about, do people listen to words that are either spoken or sung? And most importantly, the words that's in this book. The Almighty has declared in His Word that these words are able to make us wise unto salvation. The Word of God, the Word of the Almighty, the Word of Yahweh is able to make us wise unto salvation. He goes a little further and says that this Word that He has given us is able to save our souls from death. This Word is able to save our souls from death. Now, I'm not really a speaker, but I like to talk to people. And I like to talk to them one-on-one so I can hear what they're saying. I'm learning as I get older. I've been 40 years in the truth, and I'm still learning. And I'm amazed at how little I know, and how much there is to learn, and how short the time. So if you're younger than I am, grab hold of the time that you have, and use it wisely in the Father's service. That's where your life is dedicated, and no place else. Under here is bread and a cup of wine. This bread, every first day of the week when I come around the table of our departed Lord to remember the sacrifice that He made, I look at the bread, I listen to the scriptures, what it says, and the thing that comes to my mind is that He broke His body. His body was broken. What did He break? The scripture says not a bone of His body was broken. What did He break? Through His mother, being born of a woman, He inherited the sin nature of Adam. He was subject to sin, disease, and death the same as we are. If He were not, then He was not tempted in all points like unto His brethren without sin. Yet without sin. That's scriptural. And the last, excuse me, to me this represents a breaking of His will to the will of the Father. That's what it represents to me. You think about your own will and the nature of Adam inhabiting the bodies that we dwell in. Bodies deserving only of death. We come into the truth through the waters of baptism. We're an excited people. We're ready to go forth and change the world. That's the way I felt. Maybe you didn't. Everyone is different. I found out in the last 2 years of my life that everybody's different. You're not like I am. I'm not like you are. We're all different. But there is one thing that should bind us together, and that is the Word of Truth. The oneness that we have come by in the waters of baptism. We are Christ's brethren. Are we? Do you believe that? Is that really a part of our life? Are we really Christ's brethren? I think the time has come, brethren. And brother, Mansfield, thank you, Almighty. from Australia. You're all acquainted with his writings, or maybe him in person. I only saw him one time. He's written a number of things, and I've taken cognizance of the fact that when he states that he calls somebody brother or brethren, incorporating the whole body, that he's talking about someone who knows God's word. He's talking about someone who knows how to walk in that word. He's talking about someone who knows how to break their will to the will of the Father. Not my will, but thine be done. Who said that? You know who said it? The Lord Jesus Christ said it. In Peter, he states that the same Lord Jesus Christ is our example. If he is our example, then those should be our words. Not my will, Father, but thine be done. The only reason I decided to come over here and do this today was because Marco asked me, and he asked me because something happened that affected my life while he was there. Now, some things may seem mundane, may seem like they're insignificant, nothing. But whatever happens in your life where a brother or a sister affects your life, it's important to you, whether it's for good or whether it's adversely. If it's adversely, we better find out why. We cannot be in disharmony. Did you hear the hymn that was sung? Did you hear the words that came out of this hymn? Do we listen to the hymns when we sing them? Sometimes I just read a hymn just to get the gist of the words that are there and the impression that they can make upon our lives. Words convey information to us. Words can change our life. That's why the word of the Almighty is so important. Without it, we're dead. While I'm on that subject, if you don't read the book every day, you're dying a little bit. That's your life. You can see I haven't lost a meal. I eat the natural things and enjoy them. The Almighty placed them here for that reason. And I'm sure that none of you are hungry. We'll all have a fine meal here today and enjoy it with one another. But that's only secondary in our life. It only sustains the natural man for a period of time until he dies. That food cannot sustain him eternally. But this word, which Yahweh has caused to be written by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began, he says that it's able to save our soul or our life from death. So it's important to us. We arose last Sunday. Brother Marco came. Is he here? I thought he was here. Oh, Brother Marco, you were hid back there. I didn't see you. We sang a hymn. And I came to a part that I had sung a certain way all the time. And his strong, resonant voice came out, and I heard something that I hadn't heard before. Maybe I had heard it, but I wasn't listening. Listen and learn, brethren. So when it came to that, to the next stanza, whatever it is, and we went there, I stopped and I listened. And I tried to follow the notes, and I saw what he was singing. So when the third and the fourth one came up, I was able to follow along. And what did we have then? Thank you. Amen. We had harmony. Harmony is a must. It has to be a must. It has to be in our lives. Can you imagine this group of brethren, singing in disharmony? We have in our ecclesia, unfortunately for them, two families, that cannot read a word of music and cannot carry a tune. But they sing. And they sing with gusto. You know what it's like? It isn't easy. But they are making a joyful noise unto the Lord, as we all are. And that's only a minor thing. But just think about disharmony in music. That's a simple thing. We cannot have disharmony and unrest in the brotherhood when it comes to the scriptures. We cannot have it. And for the past 2 years, there has been trouble in the brotherhood. And I admit that I'm part of it, because I'm a concerned brother about what's going on. Do we know what truth is anymore? You know what I think has happened in the brotherhood? I think some have forged ahead and think more of themselves than they ought to think. Instead of esteeming our brother better than ourselves to be, we're esteeming ourselves to be something greater than we are. And the Apostle John, in his epistle to the Ecclesia, the first epistle, he takes cognizance of that and says that the sin that we sin against the Almighty is greater than any sin we can sin against each other. So where lies forgiveness? I don't think we're listening to one another. I got so much in my mind I want to tell you, I can't hear what you're saying. I knew a brother that way one time that never heard a word you said. Never heard a word. I never ceased to be amazed until he drew his last breath that he never heard a word you said. He was always thinking about what he wanted to tell you, or was on his tongue, and sometime before you quit, he was on his way. I don't think that's the way to be. I think that we need to listen to what's being said of our brethren. I want to hear what you're saying. I want to learn. Last Sunday taught me a big lesson. I thank the Almighty that I have the ability yet to learn. What would we do without it? What does the scripture say? To humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We cannot exalt ourselves. We cannot place ourselves in a position we do not belong in. I don't know if I'm ever going to get started on this exhortation. But I am concerned about the brotherhood, and I care about the brotherhood. And you know, it's time for us maybe to sit down in sackcloth and ashes and do a little weeping, praying to the Almighty that our minds would be in tune with His Word, and that the desire to have peace and harmony in the brotherhood may find a place in our lives, that we will work at knowing what the Word says so we can have it. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. David, a man after God's own heart, wrote these words probably, 1,000 years before the birth of Christ? Am I right, Brother Tom, somewhere in there? Thank you. I couldn't find my old Bible what has the dates in it. My new one doesn't have it. And I bought it because it has a wide margin. So you gain one thing, you lose something else. I keep thinking I'll go and get it and write them down, but I never do. There's no time. Time is short. It's gone before you know it. But 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, those words were written by David, a man after God's own heart. Now, if you want to disagree with me, that's all right. You'll make my point. But I believe those were the words of Christ. Many words did he utter. The scripture says that the world could not contain the volumes that would be written. Many words did he utter. He went up on the mountain to pray. He went into a desert place to pray. He was alone by himself, walking on the water to his disciples. What was he doing? What was he thinking? I think in the Psalms we have the opening of the words of Christ. David was a prophet. What is a prophet? One who speaks of that which shall be. So when I read this, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Christ never sinned against his Father. Thanks be to God. Had he not been the perfect sacrifice, we would have no hope, brethren. And if Christ be not raised, our faith is vain, we are yet in our sins. But thanks be to God who hath raised him from the dead by the blood of the everlasting covenant, and hath set him at his own right hand. And there he makes intercession for us. The word "hid" is as nearly as I could find out. I'm not a Greek scholar. I have a struggle with this. But I love to know the meaning of words. I wish I had 1,000 years so I could learn what this book says. But we don't have it. Tisaphan, I think, is a word. Does that sound familiar, John? No. I know you have studied this. It means to esteem, to lay up, to keep secretly, as hid treasure. Feelings, the will. We talked about the will. Intellect, care for, consent to consider, heed, regard, understand, and best of all, wisdom. I love the word wisdom. What does the word wisdom mean? Does it mean one thing to me and something else to somebody else? What does the word wisdom mean? Well, back in Arkansas, 35 years ago, back in Arkansas, I met a brother. His name was Ned O'Kelly. Some of you may know him. Very fine brother. But you gotta watch him, because he'll get you right in the wall. He won't let you get away. You know, if boxers are in the ring and they get near the ropes, you know, they'll dance around, but no, Brother Ned won't turn you loose. But he taught me some things that I've treasured ever since. I wrote them down. And as years went by, I went back and looked and learned. I was thankful that I had the wisdom at that time, or whatever it is, to listen to what he was saying that I might learn. He said, "Brother Bill, do you know what the word wisdom means?" I said, "Well, I really don't. I hadn't been in the truth too long." He said, "I'm going to tell you." He said, "It means correct usage or correct application of the word." I never forgot that, and that meant a lot to my life. Wisdom is correct usage of the word, correct application of the word. Correct, that's an important word. Using it wisely, using it the way it was intended. So when I found that word wisdom with "hid" and "heart," I thought, how beautiful are the scriptures. How we can learn. I just learned this. I'm excited about it. I'm thankful for it. Maybe it will make a better person out of me, that I might do the Father's will. Question comes to my mind, have we esteemed his word more than our appointed portion, which is what we all have? Whatever we have is our appointed portion. Some have more than others. That's your appointed portion. Doesn't matter to me. Used to, but it doesn't anymore. Look at Job 23 and 12. He says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips." The commandment of the lips must be the spoken word. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Would those be the words of Christ? I would say yes. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Let's see why that doesn't put us in tune with Christ. He certainly did. If anyone ever esteemed the words of God more than his necessary food, Christ did. Well, there's two things that I hope to accomplish today, and the first one is in 2 Peter 3 and 1. You want to go over there a minute? You know, I'm simply amazed when I read Brother Thomas. You know who I'm talking about. Many refer to him as Dr. Thomas, but he is our brother in Christ, dead or alive. He's dead at the present, awaiting the resurrection, but he's our brother in Christ. And when I read his works, and the thought and the sincerity, the motivation he must have had to write those books, he must have desired the word more than life itself, almost. And so when I come to these things and I read them and I find something, it just makes my faith stronger. And I hope I can pass it on to you. He says, this second epistle, or letter, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. To stir up our pure minds, and that's done by way of remembrance. If you don't ever open the book and read it, you'll never know what it says. Your minds can't be stirred up, and there can be no remembrance. You know, things have happened in the brotherhood. One of the things I come across is we don't do the daily readings anymore. We have a new system. Somebody else says, well, we have this system. Well, we've got this system. A young man, I read not long ago about him, I didn't know it. When he was a young man, Brother Roberts sat down and made a daily Bible reading schedule. And I've been going by that for 40 years. And every time I go through it, I learn something and I see something I didn't see before. And it takes me entirely through the Bible in a year's time. I don't lose one word out of it. I haven't missed something. The other thing is, it takes me through the New Testament twice. Nothing wrong with that. Might make a little heavy reading at times. Sometimes you got to read as many as 6 chapters in a day. Now that could take 30 minutes. You know, it's when you think about it, it's a serious thing. This is the word of the Almighty. It's the most important thing in our life. If it isn't, why did we take on the name Christadelphian? If I seem a little much, I don't mean to be. I'm just, I'm two things. I'm vexed with the way things are going in the brotherhood, and I'm concerned that we're not looking at the word. That's where it is, in there. Not brethren who say this and say that and say something else. There's getting to be a fragmenting, is that the word, of the brotherhood in thought. And in leaders here and leaders there, drawing people after them. If this isn't the last days, I don't know what is. At any time, Christ could return. And our life is ended. No longer can we work at building that character that will withstand his searching introspection in the day of judgment. You ever think about that? It's the only time we have to build that character. And it can't be built on, let me read you something here. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. Are we Levinites? You know what a Levinite is? Well, think about it a minute. Are we Wubbleites? Think about that one a minute. Are we Stylites? How about that one? Are we Stonites? Are we Stantonites? Are we Boomerites? Are we Robertites? Are we Thomasites? Or are we Christadelphians? Are we brethren in Christ? It's like coming to the Bay Bridge toll plaza. There's a lot of lines there, and people get in line, one behind the other. And that's about what we've got today. We got a bunch of intellectual brethren who are standing out there beckoning and knocking each other. He's wrong, come to me. He's wrong, come to me. I'm right. That's not the way it is. We are not esteeming our brother better than ourselves to be when we have that attitude. We have to be a Christadelphian. That's what we call ourselves. If somebody asks us, what are you? I'm a Christadelphian. What does it mean? Are you proud? Maybe that's a bad choice of words, but you know what I mean. Are you happy? That's better. To say, I am Christ's brethren. I am Christ's brethren. He is my brother. And I feel that the only way this decay can be stemmed is to a return to the study of the Word and know what it says. And come together in peace and talk about it. Why are we in such disharmony? It's because we don't know what the Word says. In John's time, there were the separatists. They were nonconformists. And finally, they went out from them because they were not part of them. They were not out of God. EK. I know you all know that word. They were not out of God. The only way we can be out of God is to know what this word is telling us. No other way. No other way. Question comes, who do we believe? Who do we believe? I think that's a valid question. I think it's also a valid question, what is a Christadelphian? Could you define it for me? Could you define that word, Christadelphian? I'm going to do something that I feel is necessary, or I wouldn't do it. So I pray that you'll bear with me and listen to what I have to say, and we'll talk about it. An article came out, and I was there to hear it, and I was impressed with it, because I realized then that I possibly could not have given account for myself. This brother says, as Christadelphians, we live and order our lives in both a secular, worldly and humanistic, and an ecclesial, spiritual-oriented world. This duality of environment can be evil and cause a blurring of our self-image. As 20th century believers, we should have a clearly defined concept of what manner of people we are. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? We are as Israel of old was chosen to be. And do you believe this? A witness to the plan and purpose of Yahweh in the earth. Israel failed. What about us? The effectiveness of our witnessing will be in proportion to our awareness of who and what we are. Our standard of measurement should be in the role model of a first century believer. That's where we should stand. Now I'm going to show you something. Maybe I'll try to stand them up here, and I made them as big as I could. And I want you to look at the words. And you can make a mental image of whether or not you agree that this represents a Christadelphian. You may or may not have seen this. If you haven't, it's worth your time. If you have, bear with me. These words are words that we use in everyday vocabulary. They're on the television. They're on the news. People talk about them. There are some of these and there aren't some of these. Is this a Christadelphian? Who said that? I love you, John. There's another one. Here comes another one. Here's another one. I only got three color pens. Here's another one. Here's another one. You're late, maybe lunch. Your lunch may be late, but I just want to do this. I really wanted you to be able to look at them. How many disagree with that one? Two did. Didn't know what it meant. Last two, I didn't have any more poster board. This is what they are. This isn't hard to remember. Occultist. And I have a hard time with that word. Ecumenism? I can't say it, but you know what it is. They're here. I won't put them there. Not on that part of the table. We have a theocratic advocate, an anarchist, a brother of Christ, a humanitarian, a political objector, a pacifist, a conscientious objector, activist, Zionist, and a free will nonconformist. How many of those are Christadelphian? How many of those represent what we are? A lot of brethren thought most of them represented us. It's unfortunate. It shows a lack of study of the Word, a lack of knowing who we are. We're not in the 60s and the early 70s where, who am I? I want to go find myself. We're not like that, brethren. I bet you find some in school yet today, John, don't you? Just like that, yeah? But that's not the way we are. That's not our life. Humanitarian. The philosophy that believes in the personal dignity and self-worth of man. Its primary objective is to promote the welfare of society. It rejects war as a crime against humanity. The word humane comes from its basic meaning. Moral or religious principles are not always fundamental to the humanitarian, but he seeks the self-worth of man. We don't. Pardon? Did Christ? No. No. You made my point. You see what's happening? We're not listening. We're not listening. Was Christ a humanitarian? You think so? Was Christ a humanitarian, brother? Open your Bible and read it. Political objector. One who, for political reasons, objects to existing governmental ideologies that do not meet his criteria of party politics. In the extreme, the political objector is not opposed to violence and revolutionary action to achieve his goal. That's the political objector. Are we a political objector? It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm amazed. It don't belong there. No, it doesn't belong there. Come ye out from among them and be ye what? What's that word? Separate. Exactly. Come ye out from among them and be ye separate. If you look at ourselves and look at the parking lot and look at our homes and look what we wear, we have more than heart could wish for. If I had my way, we'd all go to the desert and live in tents, and we'd have a study every day of the Word of Truth. We'd have a lecture every night, and our children would be brought up the right way. It's tough bringing them up today with their peers and the way the world is. We live in a dangerous time. If any group of Christadelphians ever lived in a dangerous time, we do. It's a time of the end. It's a time when Israel has reached a generation that the Lord should return. 1986, 1987 is around the corner. 13 years at the most till the year 6000. It won't go that long. Okay, I'm going to take that up. Pacifist. One who rejects war and violence as a means to settle disputes. Moral or religious principles are usually, but not always, the basis for his advocacy of peaceful coexistence. Pacifist. Conscientious objector. One who, for moral and religious principles, opposes the taking of human life. As a matter of conscience, he refuses to serve in the armed forces or to bear arms. Some COs will accept non-combatant service. Theological considerations are the sole basis for the CO, conscientious objection. Zionist, one whose major theme is Jewish nationalism. He seeks and aspires to the regathering of the Jew to his ancestral homeland. Political forces are the tools of the Zionist. For some, political and religious fervor coexist. Its slogan, Jerusalem next year. Free will nonconformist. Here you are, brother. One who refuses to be forced to conform to the group standards of others. He considers himself to be a free thinker and a free spirit. He refuses society's attempts to mold him to its ethical, religious, and political sympathies. Individuality, is his thing.
You think, brother, that the hardship within the brotherhood leads some brethren into a path where they will not conform to the government's heart?
The whole thing is a failure to know the word. That's what I'm trying to get across. If there's anything I want to get across, is to you recognize that no matter how small a group gets, two of us, and we disagree. We don't know what the word says, and the time is short. That's all I'm trying to say today. Listen and learn. Listen to your brother. I want to talk to you later, Brother Don. Listen to what the word is saying. Compare it. It cannot be out of balance. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. That's Scripture. And that's the way we must base it. Theocratic advocate. One who aspires to become a citizen of a worldwide theocracy. He is a millennialist. Didn't say that right. By conviction. His chief ambition is to become a co-ruler with his commander and king. In that age to come, he will, where the occasion requires, resort to the sword of the Spirit to slay the rebel and the incorrigible. War and bloodshed are seen as a means to an end, not as an end in themselves. His chief delight will be to teach the teachable and instruct his subjects in righteousness. Like the eternal God whom he serves, he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He will be a just administrator of the one law. His priestly ministry will be crowned with mercy, and his subjects will place their trust in him. His highest aspiration is to see all things subdued unto Yahweh, that God may be all and in all. Anarchist, one who is lawless. That's the way Cain was. He was out of that wicked one, E.K., out of it. One who is lawless, one who lives in rebellion against established authority. A disciplined restraint under a law and order society is rejected as undesirable and unnecessary. He repudiates the existing order but has no vision of replacing it with something better. His idea of utopia is everybody doing his own thing. Brother of Christ, one who is a disciple or follower of Christ. Correct doctrine and faithfulness in walk is fundamental to his creed. The political fortunes of present-day society holds no interest for him. He seeks first the kingdom of God. He will strive to live at peace with all men. Prayer is his stronghold, and it's the only means of communication we have with the Father. Prayer. Activist, a mover who acts out his convictions, one not content to be an observer, a participant. Social reform is his prime motivation. Political causes will stir the more extreme form of activism, and use of force will be resorted to when conflict of interest arise. Cultist, these were two words that were added. They weren't at the school. One who holds in veneration a system of beliefs that pays homage to personalities and objects of worship. It is usually viewed as religious fanaticism. It is seen as a system of worship outside of the mainstream of orthodoxy. The Jonestown Massacre is cultism in its most sinister expression. Ecumenist, I think I said it right that time. One who champions ecumenism, one whose goal is Christian unity, seeks the brotherhood of man and a bond of fellowship among all creeds and denominations. Doctrinal differences are seen as a minimal thing of importance. Universal fellowship aspired to through goodwill and cooperation. The humanitarian and the pacifist ideologies are more refined forms of humanism. In the violent world around us, for violence fills the earth, one would feel comfortable with them as neighbors. Their intentions are to be admired. Ignorance causes them to seek a utopian world with God as a minor figure in that picture. They see the human family from a perspective that is foreign to God. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. As seen by God, man hath no preeminence above a beast in death, for all is vanity. The work of the Messiah would alarm them, and their misplaced sympathies might cause them to become God's adversaries. This was by Brother Ted O'Kelly. Some of you may know him. I'm an O'Kellyite. I'm an advocate. You don't call me a Christadelphian, you call me an advocate. I read the Christadelphian Advocate. Does anybody here read it? If you don't know what they're saying. You're not listening. If I don't read the Focus on Unity when it comes, I don't know what they're saying, so I read it. If I don't read the Sanctuary Keeper when it comes, I don't know what they're saying. And how do I make a judgment? How do I make a decision? How can you make a decision? Who's right? Who's wrong? How do you base how you make a decision? What motivates us to make a decision? Is there anything more important than the Word of the Almighty? I don't think so. Back to what I said at the beginning. It's able to save our souls from death. You all, or I wouldn't talk this way. God talks to us through His Word, and His love is expounded to us in His Word. If we're not listening to it, then His love is not coming through to us. His love corrects us and directs our path. I'm no one to try to correct you or direct your path. I'm only urging you to study the Word that you might know the way to the tree of life.